إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. أما بعد، dear brothers and sisters, from what we have gone through, a lot of khutbah about terrorism and what's going to Muslims. And today, I'm not going to talk anything about it. We will touch on one of the incidents and the journeys for Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It's a lifetime journey. Something that happens to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. This trip is very unique. And something very important I want to highlight. I did not mention this because we are in Rajab. Because there's nothing to prove that it happens during Rajab, which is the month in the calendar, Muslim's calendar. No. There are different stories, but different times. The main purpose is to highlight the objective and the wisdom behind it, because it has a really very strong wisdom, this trip for Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. First, we want to highlight on the circumstances that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has gone through before this trip. And as you know, when Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was first came into a prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first convinced him personally that you are a prophet, which takes some time. Angel Jibreel, when he came in first time and revealed the first ayah, اقرأ ربك الذي خلق, he did not come through directly the second day and the second day. No. It actually gave him the rest of some month, and then the next ayah come in. But during that time, Prophet Angel Jibreel was always coming to Prophet Muhammad to tell him, you are the messenger from Allah. To convince him first, you are a prophet. It's a huge task. It's not easy to know that you are a messenger from Allah. That's not true. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for him two protection. One at home and one outside. The one at home was his wife, Khadija. Sayyida Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife, was very special protection for him. She's the first one that Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came into her, shivering and shaking and really afraid, asking her for help. And she was the first one to believe him and came into Islam. And that was the first exit to him, first refuge actually, someone to help. And that was his internal protection at home. Whatever happens outside, he came, he's always coming to Lady Khadija radiallahu anhu, and she's always actually coming to listen to him and help him. And the one protection from the outside was his uncle, Abu Talib. Because his uncle, he wasn't that rich man, but he was very honored and respect. He had lots of respect. And they know that they cannot do anything and harm Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise, they know that what will happen, because his uncle is there to protect him. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for his wisdom, decided that these two protections will go. The same year that Lady Khadija died, the same year that his uncle died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to stand and tell him, Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, things are changing. You're not getting any more protected by this. So wisdom from Allah. Because the non-believers said that because of his uncle, we can't do this. Because of his uncle, we can't do that. As if it's not Allah is protecting him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to change this fact. And that was definitely a shocking for Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu, to lose the two protections in the same year. But Allah has a wisdom behind it. When Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam lost these two protections for him, he went to ask and look for protection in Taif. It's another town beside Mecca. And when he went there to ask for protection, He actually, they throw him stone, then he was bleeding. So it's more and more pressure on him. Subhanallah. So he's doing his best. And at that point in time, he finds like all the doors are closed. He actually did and says his very famous dua. Allahumma inni ashku laka da'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani 'ala an-nas. That means, Allah, I've done my best. There's no way else. I can't do anything. You have to do something. This is a lesson for us. You have to do all your best. Everything, all sides. When you do something, you have to do your best. Even Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has done this. And then the next, this is it. So he's telling that I've done my best. إِلَى مَنْ تَكِلُنِي إِلَى بَعِيدٌ يَتَجَهَّمُنِي أَمْ إِلَى قَرِيبٌ مَلَّكْتَهُ أَسْلِمُ. This sentence, if you look at what it means, as if he's complaining, who are you sending me to? To those people actually that are not listening to me, far away or nearby, it's very difficult. As if you look at the meaning, they said that as if he's actually objecting. No, he's not. He's complaining. He can't. He did his best. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ. And then he changes the next sentence. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَإِنِّي لَنْ أُبَالِي. This is the top of it, the top of satisfaction, rida. If you're not angry with me, Allah, I don't care. As long as you're not angry, I accept. إِنْ لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ غَضَبٌ عَلَيَّ فَإِنِّي لَا أُبَالِي وَلَكِنْ عَفِيَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي. That means your forgiveness is really bigger for me. So here's this dua. If you look at it, it's totally, I've done my best, Allah. And it's all the everything I could do, I've done it. However, I've gone through a difficult time, and as long as you're not angry with me, I will accept. This is one of the big lessons that we have to know, that you have to do your best. But don't forget, whenever the doors are closed, you have one way to go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell him, the whole Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sky and angels are behind you. And that was the start of his trip. That was the start of his trip. And if you look at the start actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see Prophet Muhammad. There is a big difference between him and Prophet Musa, as you know. Prophet Musa alayhi salam asked to see Allah. And he went for 40 days to see Allah. Prophet Muhammad did not ask to see Allah. But he's been actually, Angel Jibreel came in and took him to that trip. And we will see that comparison, because the comparison is very big. Prophet Musa, I've done the meeting في الوادي المقدس طوى. That means the valley of طوى. That's in Sinai. You and I can go there. The meeting with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was in the sky. None of us can go there. It's totally different. And also very simple different. When Prophet Musa went there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, اخلعن عليك انك بالوادي المقدس طوى. Take off your slippers. You are in a sacred place. Prophet Muhammad has gone all the way through and the Sidrat al-Muntaha up to the sky and heaven. And he has not been asked to take off his slippers. There's a big difference. The trip itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated a lot of meanings in this. And if you look at the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. سبحان. The first word of this. سبحان. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you ever see this word, it's a very special word. One, you can't use it with human being. You can't say Subhan my friend or Subhan and so on. No. It's only Subhanallah. The meaning of this word, and I need you to emphasize and let you understand it. As ulama said, تنزيه لله عن النواقص وإفراد لله بالذات والصفات والأفعال. I'll repeat it again in Arabic and I'll explain it in English. تنزيه لله عن النواقص وإفراد لله بالذات والصفات والأفعال. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above all shortcomings. And it's the uniqueness of Allah himself, his description and his actions. It's a uniqueness for this. So whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said subhan or you said Subhanallah, you admit this uniqueness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whenever Allah uses it in Quran, meaning whatever is coming after this is something unique to Allah, nothing similar in action or a description. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifoon, that means descriptions that they exist to Allah is unique to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yasifoon. And that's why Allah started Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan. That means that Isra means to walk at night. And that type of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us, it's a uniqueness action. None of you as human being can do this. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. So that's a uniqueness in the action itself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. His slave, which is Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. These two words, as you know, Subhanallah asra bi'abdihi laylan, and Isra wa bi'abdihi, has a very, very important meaning that you have to understand. First, you know that the non-believers, after Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam came back, and he was telling them the story, despite the fact that they have actually did not believe him, however, there are actually upsides on what they said. They told Prophet Muhammad, how can you go to Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, Aqsa Mosque, in one night and come back? We do it in a month. Despite that, they have denied that there is one benefit. What is the benefit of what they said, actually? The benefit is that they understand the word Isra. They've understood this word. Because they know that when someone did Isra, that means his body and soul went there. So they proved it. Even they are unbelievers. Because if it's with your soul, I can tell you I was in New York yesterday, or I was in Tokyo, or whatever it is. As long as it's a dream, yeah, say whatever you like. But because they know what Isra means, it's a body and soul, and that's why they come into an argument. So it proves the point of what does that mean by Isra. Because despite the fact there are people in actually our time, they said that it can't be with the body. It has to be with the soul. No, even the non-believers during Prophet Muhammad, they know that it's actually with the body and the soul. Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi. And also, the word abd cannot be the soul. It has to be with your body as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another surah, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يَنْهَى عَبْدًا إِذَا صَلَّى. And that proves it's the body and the soul. So Isra is a unique thing. And Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام started this trip, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. This Isra between the Masjid Haram, which is in Mecca, and Masjid al-Aqsa is in Jerusalem. لِنِيُرَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا الْكُبْرَى. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show him evidences. Now, نُرِيَهُ, which means that we will show him, that means he can see it because he's still in human status. And that means it is already there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just show him the evidence. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِ الْكُبْرَى. إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Now, this, السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, just to know this one, all the ayat has the end, الْحَكِيمُ الْعَلِيمُ, الْحَكِيمُ الْخَبِيرُ, الْرَحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ. These are called الْفَوَاصِلُ. الْفَوَاصِلُ, that means the end of the ayat. Okay? And this also, the tawasil, these ones, always related to the meaning of the ayah. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about something that needs strong things, Al-Aziz al-Hakim, that means the ayah needs some kind of a power from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite the power that he needs in subhanahu alladhi asra bi'abdi, power from Allah, Allah said, innahu huwa al-sami'u al-basir. So he said, but why come Allah did not say Al-Aziz al-Hakim? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us, huwa al-sami'u al-basir li du'ai Muhammad. He was listening and seeing his dua. Because this trip is because of the dua. Subhanahu wa sami'u al-basir. He was listening to the complaint and dua of Prophet Muhammad. So despite the power in the ayah itself, that it comes with subhanallah, still al-sami'u al-basir, because he was listening to Prophet Muhammad and his dua and his complaint. So it's a very, very uniqueness. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, people when he came back, he told us, okay, describe this mosque for us, which is the mosque, Al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala went to show him that it's a proof. Enable him to see it in front of him. And describe it in detail, left and right and up and down and everywhere. And that was an evidence for him. Okay, so you have been there. Not only this, he added another evidence actually about an incident that happens when he comes back of a tribe that lost a camel. And he told them, when they come back, they ask them about me. And they've been waiting, and they've waited for these people, and they've asked. And they told them, yes, we've seen him, and he told us about this. So there's an physical evidence of that he has been there. And that's why ulama said that we as Muslims, if we deny Isra, it's a kufr. It's a kufr if you deny Isra, because the physical evidence is there. And then when he came to this trip, he met Angel Jibreel, who asked him to choose, actually to select between milk and wine. And Prophet Muhammad ﷺ selected milk. And he said, "Fitra," that means you've taken the fitra. Fitra, that means normal, naturally, instinctively. That actually you selected the something that everybody selected, which is naturally. And he did actually prayer to all prophets in this one. That's before the Mi'raj, before he escalated to the Sama. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this place, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلًا الْأَقْصَى مُوسَ الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا. There's blessing around it. Blessing around it, if you look at in Surah Qaf, يَوْمَ يُنَادِي الْمُنَادِي مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. يُنَادِي الْمُنَادِي, which is Angel Israfil. Angel Israfil. When he's going to do نَفْ, to resurrect all people, مِنْ مَكَانٍ قَرِيبٍ, on the top of the stone in Jerusalem, the Bayt al-Maqdis. Because this is the nearest place to sky. This is the nearest place on earth to sky. And that has been mentioned in all the tafsir actually. All of the tafsir that in Qurtubi and Ibn Kathir wal-Jalalayn wal-Hadith ala had. So it is a very special place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ. It's a blessing place. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. It's a very unique place. So starting from this place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us, this is a very important and holy place for you as Muslims. Because it's ula qiblatayn wa ta'ala haram. That means it's actually the first qibla before it changes. So it's the first qibla in this one, which is in Masjid al-Aqsa. So it's a very unique trip. Inshallah, we will start and continue on the second khutbah. قُلُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا. الحمد لله وكفى الصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى سيدنا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. اليمين والشمال مضلة والطريق الوسطى هي السامة عليها منبر السنة. اللهم اجعلنا من أهل الوسط في الدين إن شاء الله. الله سبحانه وتعالى, the second stage of the trip that Angel Jibreel took him to the sky, and that was, this is the part, the second part of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated this one that he has seen already a lot of facts and a lot of examples and a huge trip. Started actually with this trip, the first sky. And he met the different prophets in each and every sky. The beauty in that one, when he see each and every one, he said actually Prophet Adam in the first, Prophet Yahya and Isa in the second, Prophet Yusuf in the third, Prophet Harun in the fourth, Prophet Musa in the fifth, and Prophet Ibrahim at the seventh one. And that means he's seen all the prophets actually gone through. And the great thing actually, he comes to a level where even Angel Jibreel cannot get one step forward, subhanAllah. Even Angel Jibreel, the chief of angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Angel Jibreel in many different ayat. Shadid al-Quwa. So to describe all of that, he's not allowed to take one step at that level. Beyond the seventh sky, he's not allowed to take one step forward in the Sidrat al-Muntaha. So this is a place where angels and Angel Jibreel is not allowed to go in. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is allowed to go in alone in this one. So that's even honor to a place where even Angel Jibreel cannot get step forward, subhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described these ones, that he has seen Angel Jibreel and the Sidrat al-Muntaha originally. That means his huge body. He has seen him before on earth in Dar Hira, but that was the second time. وَلَقَدْ رَأَهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةِ الْمُنْتَهَى عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةٌ مَأْوَى. إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى. So this is it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed him this trip, the whole trip, all through the skies. He has seen examples of what is going to happen on the Day of Judgment. And each and every time he's asking Angel Jibreel, what does that mean? What does that mean? So for example, he has seen an old lady with a lot of makeup. And he asked him, what is this lady, what is the story behind it? He told him, that's what's left on earth of its life to the Day of Judgment, which means that your life on earth is very short, because we came in at the end of life, subhanAllah. He has seen a lot of things. He's seen people who are eating fire, which is people eating and stealing orphaned money. يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا سبحان الله وَلْيَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. He has seen people actually planting and actually getting their fruits directly, very quickly. And he's asking, who are these people? He said, those people, المجاهدين في سبيل الله. المجاهدين في سبيل الله. Get their benefits very quickly and huge. Subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him see these things to enable him to see the evidence of what is going to happen and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling us on earth. And during that trip, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered salah. So it's a very unique ibadah, very unique worship of Allah. And as you know, when it was ordered, it was 50 salah, 50 times a day, not 5. And he came back and he met Prophet Musa and asked him, has you get any orders from Allah? He said, yes. And then he told him about the Prophet, the order for 50. And then he said, no, go back to Allah and ask him to reduce it. And he did this, that many trips between him and Prophet Musa. And then it comes back to life. 5. And then Prophet Musa said, ask him again, go, that's too much. And he said, stahyayt. I can't go back and ask just to remove the whole salah. Subhanallah. So that's what this type of worship, which is salah, إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا, is to know us, to highlight the importance to prayer, because it has been ordered in sky, and each and every one is still written in your thawab 10 times, subhanallah. The whole trip proves to Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is behind you, is helping you. You're not alone. Even those protections at home or protection outside, is not, you've lost it. You still have Allah. You still have Allah. And that's why we have to know that. We have to believe, as Prophet Muhammad gave us the example, you still have the door to Allah. If all the doors are closed, you still have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you have to know is you have to remember that. You have to remember that the exit, whatever you have, whatever difficulty situation that you have, stand and asking for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help. Allah will help you. And that was Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Wallahu ya'asimuka minal nas. Al-Asma, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. But you have to understand what protection means here, because you probably will say that, wait a minute, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was injured in Uhud. And he was bleeding. So how come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting him from death? So no one can kill him to stop the da'wah, or any harm that will stop Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to do da'wah. He will continue by protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ya'asimuka minal nas. So that's protection from Allah, not anyone else. And we have to have that thinking, that type of behavior, whatever happens. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس سمعوا لكم فخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Whatever difficult situation you're going through, just say حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough to be your agent. Whatever difficult situation you're going through, just remember Allah, and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yakfeed enough protection and help for you on earth, on anywhere, whatever happens to you, subhanallah. All you have to know, you have to believe that inside, and you have to go through it. And there is a very quick story. During one of the governors, this is Hajjaj ibn Yusuf in Iraq, he was really, really unfair He was very severe. He killed a lot of people. He has done a lot of bad things. And there was a Sahabi, Al-Imam Anas ibn Malik. He was always actually asking Allah for this man to die. يَدْعُوا عَلَيْهِ. And Al-Hajjaj knows this, that this Sahabi, Anas ibn Malik, did this. So he decided to kill him. So what happened? He sent him some guards. And he told them, just get me this man. And he was in Medina, and this one was actually in Iraq. And they took him all the way. And then he was standing, and Imam Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he was a Sahabi, in front of Al-Hajjaj. And he told him, you are doing dua upon me, asking Allah to die. I said, yes, I've done that. He said, don't you be afraid of me. I can kill you. And then Imam Anas, you listen to this, to how confident in Allah is this man. He smiled and he said, if I know that you could do that, I would worship you instead of Allah. And that was a shocking answer for Al-Hajjaj. Worship me instead of Allah? This is a Sahabi. And so, how could you be that confident? He said, Prophet Muhammad والسلام, taught him a dua. This is a long dua. And he told me, when you do this dua every day in the morning, no one can do anything hard for you. Unless it's written on you, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it happen to you. And he told him, asked him, can you teach that to me? He told him, not for you. You don't deserve it. Face to face, he told him this. And then after this argument, he told the guard, just let him go. So all the people around, actually, Al-Hajjaj told him, you get him all the way through to chop his head, and then now you leave him. He actually asked him to release him. And he said, yes. Every time I'm about to ask him to take him, I see two lions on his shoulders about to attack me. What if I order? It's something that he is the only one could see. That's a special Allah protection. But you have to have that confidence inside your heart. You have to have that confidence. And that's what we are missing in Muslims today. That confidence in Allah, that Allah hasbuna. Allah is agent and enough for us. Just depend on Allah. Have that confidence. ادخلوا عليهم الباب فإذا دخلتموه فإنكم غالبون. Just have the confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we need. To believe in Allah and change our behavior. To have and fill us in confidence. It's not something that tomorrow I'm going to have a confidence. No. It needs practicing. It needs remembering Allah. Have a practice every day to read Quran. Have a practice every day to remember and have some kind of dhikr in every day. Say subhanallah wa bihamdi 100 times. Say la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah lahu mulk wa la hamd yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir 100 times. Say astaghfirullah 100 times. Say allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad 100 times. Make it a habit for you to fill yourself with that confidence. Because you're not going to get a confidence in one day. It has to be a long-term behavior. Once it has, you are going to fill with this confidence inside yourself, inshallah. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ذنوبنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر لنا الذنوب واستر لنا العيوب. اللهم أعنا على ضعف أنفسنا يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. اللهم وصلي وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. اللهم إنا نستغفرك ذنوبنا يا أرحم الراحمين. وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.